ever. I mean, we hosted 3 years ago now, Ivan Tony in our Silks restaurant at Cheltenham. And the one thing, Ivan was such a lovely guy. And, you know, although I don't necessarily think he should still be playing in Saudi because he's a better footballer than that.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge him the move for it, because he came on a table with just him and his family. He was honestly the most lovely guy on the planet. He was so down to, but he sat there and he had water all day, and he was in this environment where it's Gold Cup there at Cheltenham. It was an international break that following weekend. He wasn't playing for England at the time, so he could have gone and got himself scuttered. We were at Ascot, Royal Ascot, and obviously we collate dietary requirements and everything for people that are sitting down and eating. And one of the guys who was a customer of ours in our facility, he had said that one of his guests had a nut allergy. So we passed that on to the caterers. And anyway, long story short.
Lost in translation.
Well, no, Ascot served a meal that had a pine nut in it. And on the British nut register, a pine nut isn't classed as a nut.
Why?
So we've given the nut allergy. Caterers have looked at it, but I mean, it blows my mind, it'll probably blow your mind, but it isn't a nut allergy. It's a pine nut, but it's not a nut. I mean, this year at Cheltenham, we had, on Jordan Pickford's table, we had Rob Edwards, who was the old Luton manager, John O'Shea, who's currently the assistant Irish manager, Stephen Hunt, who's a football agent, which is where all the Canadian came, because I know Stephen through Ian Williams' yard on the racing side of things.
Yeah.
And you couldn't meet, as a group of four lads, you couldn't be more fun, down-to-earth, kind lads who were just there for a laugh and a joke, you know. And sorry, they brought Johnny Evans along, who's obviously just been a Leicester. Yeah. But, you know, it must be quite hard for some of these lads who are footballers going to Cheltenham, for instance, and every 10 seconds, you're like, can I pitch him?
Yeah.
Can I pitch
him? Yeah.
You would be like, oh, Christ, can I just watch this race at one point? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But they were all so
forward into this,
and they were really down to earth lads.
But no, I'm not gonna make it too formal. The feedback we've got off it is that it's turned into a bit of a TV show. It's like hi there, B2B. So we're here this week with Stu Farson. We're gonna just ditch that and go into the chat. So if you want to just tell me a little bit about what you do, and
if you let me know what you want me to enjoy myself first.
So obviously we know each other from previous and some good times and some messy times, but obviously business wise then, which puts you in these opportunities. Just tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah. So obviously my name's Stuart Parsons. I work, I'm the sales director for Event Masters. Event Masters are a Birmingham based corporate firm. We're celebrating our 40th year anniversary this year. So, Mark and Denise Shoesby, who own the business, have built it up all the way through the 80s. It's had a couple of different names in its earlier stages as well to get to where it is today. You can probably tell by my quite husky accent.
I was going to say, do you want to explain?
Stag do at the weekend and still acting in the corporate world. This was purely pleasure. But I'm not from that round these neck of the woods. I came to university in Birmingham. Actually lived in a house just over the way from there for a good 2 years. Stayed in Birmingham, worked in recruitment for the first 2 years that I was out of university, and then stumbled across what is now the best job in the world. So, yeah, selling corporate hospitality at all the major sporting events. And as you know, Kev, from us being in Germany together in all different places, it takes you far and wide.
It's a very nice time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So,
did you work for recruitment when you come around?
So I started off with a company called Project Resource, who were based... across the pub was called the Lazy Cow back then. I think it's the Beach House in Solihull. They were based in the grey office blocks from there. It's kind of the standard uni move, really. I think that when you come out of uni, you didn't really know what to do. They have all these work fairs and different things. And I went across. It was just a load of recruiting firms there. And big lad, gift of the gab, likes to try and put himself in places. Feel a little awkward. So I got given this job. It was doing construction freelance recruitment, recruiting highways engineers, actually, for on the M6 and different things like that. But it was just a nightmare. I mean, you get people a job, and then they'd be starting on the Monday. On the Sunday night, they'd phone you up and say they're not coming in because
I used to work in recruitment.
Yeah, you know, crack.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it gave me so many different transferable skills.
Yeah.
I learned how to deal with candidates and individuals as people, but also business owners, decision makers, etc. So I felt like I needed those 2 years to get to where I wanted to get to in life. And I didn't know it at the time. So it was quite a real good learning curve, to be honest. And the Project Resource people, I'm still very friendly with everyone there now. I mean, I think they're called Novartis nowadays. They've been bought out by another firm, but a chap called Andrew Slarek, who lives over in Solihull, he was the director there and very friendly. And then my boss at the time was a chap called Dave as well. And Dave now works for a recruiting firm called Danny Sullivan Group, who are actually one of my clients.
Beautiful.
Event Masters now.
Yeah, never burned any bridges there.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I've been very lucky in the sense that it was 2 years of my life that I'd never change and never regret. But yeah, I was sat in work one day, and I remember my housemate at the time, Matt Long, who works in recruitment himself, actually sent me a picture of the Event Masters website, and it just had on the bottom like a "We Are Recruiting" land page bit. And I thought, well, I'll have a little look around, see what it is. And it was showing pictures of Edgbaston, pictures of Premier League football grounds and all sorts of stuff, which then piqued my interest. And then looking at it, it was like, okay, right, hospitality packages, right. Let's have a little figure. Oh, they do the Cheltenham Festival. I'm mad into my horse racing. I've grown up around it. All right, so their gig is selling hospitality at Cheltenham Festival, at Royal Ascot, International Rugby.
You already are the product knowledge for through. That. You're like,
so all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, well, it sounds like something I can do, really. So I just picked up the phone on the landline whilst I was at lunch, actually, at Project Resource one day. And I phoned the office, and Mark's son, Mark and Denise, who are the family owners of Event Masters, Elliot used to be involved in the business, and I managed to arrange a meeting with him. So I went in 2 days later, I think it was, in December of 2011. I always remember it because I went to the Euros in 2012 in France, I think it was. Yeah, it must be 2012 in France.
Yeah.
And that it was the December of 2011 that I had the interview on the Friday. Handed in my notice on the Monday after being offered the job, and I started on January the 5th in 2012, and that was the Event Masters roller coaster that started from there.
Right,
it was rough. So yeah, it was a real rebirth. And obviously the way that our like business is set up now, in the sense that we do corporate all the major sporting events, the calendar year's really structuring it. I've probably got a little bit of OCD, a little bit probably ADHD and all sorts of different things.
We all are now.
Yeah. But like the way that we have to sell products, it's like a school timetable. So you know the Premier League football is August through to May. So I know that that's going to be a lot of my week to week selling Premier League football, because we own stock at Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Arsenal. You never know. One day Blues, if they get back to the Premier League days.
It's a long way.
Maybe even next year with the Championship.
Yeah.
And then in between that, your other major events that happen in the UK, like the Six Nations, are obviously, it's almost quarterly done. So it's like you go through a school year, which is quite structured and allows me to organise myself in a calendar basis. So, yeah, it's worked out really well. I've been with Event Masters for 10 years now. So I started off as a sales executive. We've grown quite considerably since then. We're still a relatively small team in comparison. I think people will probably look at Event Masters and think it's 50, 60, 70 people that work there. But we've
got a good name, isn't it?
Yeah, without blowing our own trumpet, we are top of the tree in the hospitality field and within that sector. And that's the reason why we're lucky enough to be able to work with Cheltenham, with Ascot Racecourses, they're officially appointed suppliers, but also as well with the likes of the Premier League football clubs that we do, because if we didn't have that established name and we didn't have the products that we have, they wouldn't appoint us really on all of these places. So
how can you only do certain clubs? Is it a mindful thing, or
would
you see all of the clubs?
Something that works, really. I mean, like, obviously, as you would have with any business, you tend to have your field of where your clients are. So horse racing's become a massive part of it, because Event Masters is madly into its horse racing. So Mark, we own a number of racehorses that are within Event Masters Racing. So they're named under the company colours, and they run under the company colours. And it's been something that Mark's loved his whole life, and then the people who have come into the business have loved them, because I love horse racing. It then takes us down the horse racing routes, and naturally the conversations I have with people, I end up speaking to like-minded people who are into horses themselves. Football-wise, it's, you know, we want to be involved with all the biggest clubs that we can be.
Yeah.
Some of the clubs are easier to work with than others, but that's the same with anything in life. But it's not that we pick and choose who we work with. We would try and work with as many people as we can. It's just having the right opportunity, but it's got to be the right for both parties. You know, there's no point of us getting involved with the product if we aren't going to be able to sell it, or if we haven't got a client base for it. But if we feel that we can enhance the product, and you know, the football club feel that it's beneficial to them to have that amount of seats. I mean, take Aston Villa, who are over the way from here. We never actually worked with them on a direct basis, apart from maybe two or three games for the last 4 or 5 years. We got involved in the Birmingham Chamber a little bit more on the back end of COVID. Met a few people down at Villa, conversations happened. We took on our first table with the club last year, which was six places in the Lions Lounge. Halfway through the season last year, we then took an extra 25 lower grounds on that. And then this year, they've obviously revamped the hospitality completely, similar to what they have done at Blues. But we've gone to six in the 150, 25 in the lower grounds, and then we've enhanced for next season to 12 in the 150 with 25 lower grounds. So the product's ever growing.
You're going to be in the Champions League now.
Yeah, I mean, so with like, you know, PSG this year, we had sort of nearly 100 guests out per game. Celtic was our busiest one because of the British fixture that it had. But, you know, it's been really good for us. And that's come because we are obviously a Birmingham-based company, that it works really well with our clientele, with the people. And it's important, you know, the same ways. I always say when I moved to Birmingham, when I was here from down in the southwest, I came up to the city, Blues, Wolves, Baggies, and Villa were all Prem clubs. Mm-hmm. And none of them were doing particularly well in the Prem at that time. Yeah. Blues obviously had won the Carling Cup. But the city was booming though.
Yeah.
It was like every time you walk around on a Saturday, there'd be different, you know, thousands of away supporters from might be London for Chelsea, it might be Liverpool, it might be Manchester. And then I look back at that as somebody who's not from the city, and you feel quite like the city deserves to have that back because of the place that it is. And I suppose that's why, with us being a Birmingham-based company, it's really important for us to work with the clubs that are from our roots. It can't be a Birmingham-based company that's been here for 40 years, based in the Jewellery Quarter, and have no allegiance to Aston Villa, who are flying in the Premier League. It almost seems a little bit backward, really. So, you know, we do try and pick and choose who we can work with, but it has to work both ways as well, you know. It's on that side of things.
Yeah, so going back then, how did you, Joel Gaffers, get into it today?
So Mark, actually, who sort of heads up and owns Event Masters from it, he started way back when with Moseley Rugby Club, was the commercial manager of Moseley, ended up then going into sort of his own business. Then two guys had been to each other. It wasn't under the name of Event Masters. I forget exactly what the name was, because it was a little bit before my lifetime more than anything. But Mark then ended up going solo and Event Masters being created. So it's always had a sporting background within the Sheathby dynasty as such, with it, you know, even from being commercial manager at Moseley, getting all the gigs in down there on a corporate basis, getting people to go and see Moseley Rugby Club on a corporate side of things, sponsorship deals, etc. Then it went into obviously Mark and a chap called Ivor, who were business partners together, and then Mark ended up going on his own and buying Ivor out, and that made what is Event Masters. Actually, from, don't quote me, I might not be 100% correct, but it'd be on the lines of this. The 2008 recession proved to be quite positive for Event Masters, in the sense that a chap who is called Craig Stadden, who's now the head of Blumpton Racecourse, he used to be the main hospitality manager down at Cheltenham. And in 2008, hospitality areas were sparse, but a box opportunity became available in the final fence structure area, probably because there was not a lot of money about the recession, etc. Mark and Denise took a jump in and said, we'll take it, in the aim that they knew if they could just break even or even take a minor loss, it gives them a foothold in a Cheltenham that we never had.
Wow.
And I think, again, don't quote me exact numbers on this, but I think it was something like maybe 100 covers, 120 covers that year at Cheltenham. We've just finished the festival this year in March. We welcomed 3,500 people through Event Masters to Cheltenham. So
for that gamble.
Exactly. And, you know, from being at 120, it's kind of similar to what I was saying with Villa. You know, it's starting at six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a huge number. You know, Villa are going to be getting 40,000 people or 50,000 people. But if you look at the way that it's grown and grown, I mean, even during my time at EM, we used to have four box seats at Tottenham Hotspur when it was the old White Hart Lane. We're now at 100 premium seats per fixture, and that is the case for the NFL concerts, you know, that happen there. So it's in terms of numbers wise,
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's quite amazing to see how it changes for the different events as well.
But it's thing underneath and the whole.
It's quite bonkers, really. Mm. And I mean, like the area that it's in as well, it kind of, it almost looks like it's a massive, like, super space dome.
Yeah, yeah.
Just plopped into.
Yeah.
It's quite a rough part of North London, yeah, yeah, really. But it's no, I mean, look, it's arguably the stadium in the world, isn't it? And I think you look at what Manchester United's plans are, even to a certain extent, Blues' plans. You see all the redevelopments. I think everyone's trying to do their own version of what Tottenham have created.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, and it's something that everybody, we're very lucky that we're involved there because everybody wants to go and see it. And being in London, you get the foreign foothold as well of all the people coming in who are travelling for, you know, visiting Americans, whatever else. And it is just such an iconic thing that you want to go and see. So,
yeah,
no, it's, yeah, it's really good. So, you know, that's sort of a bit of a background into EM. But as I say, it's managed to be really stable 40 years this year, which we're really chuffed about. We did a massive sponsorship in Ascot last week. We're a big believer in Event Masters that you should give back to what you get out of. And we take a lot out of horse racing. But Spa, as I said, we have 3,500 people at Cheltenham, but in a month's time, we're going to have nearly 5,000 people at Royal Ascot across the week. And we feel that it's a great way for us to profile and celebrate our 40th anniversary was to sponsor Royal Ascot Trails Day, which happened 2 weeks ago. So we had a really momentous day down there. We got to sort of brand up with Event Masters around the CAF. And yeah, it was...
You were judging about us,
yeah? Okay, you know, I always like to try and get myself, get the pictures taken in the frames that I shouldn't do, Kev, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
So it was... Yeah. No, but you know, it's been very, very good to us over the years at Ascot. And it's something that we feel that as we take so much out of the racing game, you know, to give back and do a sponsorship through that was really quite important for us. So, and it was a very proud chest out moment because, you know, I'm proud of it from only working at the company for 10 years. And I feel that I've been part of the growth to get it to where it is within the 40 years now. I was appointed sales director 2 years ago. So, you know, my work up the ladder has been obviously a really important part of it. But for Mark and Denise, I think for those to see, I'd imagine they've obviously...
They're vibing.
Well, you know, they've gone through what must be tough times as business owners. Yeah. So the very, very top of the tree times. It's pretty amazing, really. And I think we're all very proud that was the way it was. I'm very happy to be down there celebrating it on that basis.
So from a personal point of view, what have been your standout moments or what's an event that has exceeded your expectations that you just like, you get there and you do it and the day you're just like,
I can't believe
I've been selling this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was always, as a young nipper, taken along to Cheltenham, taken along to Ascot. Me and my dad love our racing. We've always done it together. And I pinch myself every time that I walk through the doors and call that work at hospitality. I was lucky enough a couple of years ago I'm a Bristol City fan, and I did a deal with the Bristol City team at the time to service a Cheltenham hospitality order. And it was, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, look, as you know, it was looking after the boys that I idolised on a Saturday, really. So,
yeah.
Now that's always a pinch myself moment. I think
I'm not first name terms and then being like,
yeah, well, you know, in that basis, we are lucky in our line of work. We come across obviously quite a lot of high-end people. We deal with a number of high-end people that, well, you live a millionaire's lifestyle without being a millionaire. Well, yeah. Certainly in my case. Yeah. But I the doors that it opens to you, and you know, the people that you'll meet through it, it's quite unbelievable, to be honest with you. And it's even, you know, the people that we'll meet who are invitees of people within these boxes as well, you know. So we do a lot of work with, you know, sometimes even social media firms or even sort of makeup firms or whatever, who the people that they're bringing along, you know, like we had Derek Chisora in our box at Twickenham, you know, not so long ago. And you kind of look at the character that he is in the boxing ring and you think, oh, he can't be like that in real life. And then he's just as barmy as he is,
yeah,
you know, and he's in his private life. And it's amazing to see how these people are in a privatized environment. So I would say, in terms of actually, what do I pinch myself? I pinch myself almost every day when I get to work in an event. They're the real bonus things. You know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of hard grafting behind it.
I've seen you outside, you're on the phone.
Yeah, you know,
I've spoken to you, I've seen you on an event and yeah, Germany even, and then you run
the you know, and Germany, when we were there for the semi-final of the Euros, that's obviously my personal time, really. That you know, I follow England away as a hobby more than anything. But the way that our world is and our business world, if I don't answer the phone and I don't get the deals done and I don't look after my clients in the way that they deserve to be looked after, they can go and phone 100 other people. And it is very much, you know, we're all in shark infested waters. And I've got to be the great white in the shark, you know.
It's going to be 10 pints deep.
Yeah, well, look, absolutely. I mean, I always say so that's probably one of my better skills that I've got, that I can be a bit more transferable. Absolutely. But, you know, no, it doesn't allow us to sleep really, but I almost thrive on that basis with it as well, because at the same point, if my phone completely stopped ringing, I'd be more worried than if my phone wasn't ringing, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that's, long may the days for the phones.
Just touching on that Germany trip, Henry. Unreal. I think I'm still feeling a bit of a hungover, just...
The problem with that is that it's the German beer that's in it, isn't it? Because I mean, it's a great place to go and watch football. And to have Euros, I mean, it was wicked. I was
and the Dutch were brilliant at all.
Yeah, well, they're not in all areas.
As a celebration. Absolutely. I mean, that square where we're sitting up the beer.
It helps massively, doesn't it, when you win a game like we did in the 90th minute. And like, that's kind of the stuff that as football fans... Yeah, we didn't go on and win the tournament, but we'll never forget that, will we? You know, like Watkins scoring that goal in the last minute. But it made the whole day as it was. And, you know, you're leaving Birmingham at like 6:30 in the morning on the flight. You're getting there at 8:30. The whole place is buzzing. Like you said, that town centre was, I mean, it was a wash of orange, wasn't it? But there was obviously a number of English there as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you know, the Euros was, it's another thing that's...
Even for a day, I was like, Watkins England today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, been a Blues. You guys have got to try and let it go, you know? Okay. Yeah. But that's the beauty of being a Bristol City fan. You know there's not going to be any Bristol City or Bristol Rovers players that are going to be knocking on the international doorsteps to have any allegiances. Yeah,
Jamie Cureton popping up for his other
side. There'll be a lot of Reading fans out there as well who will be wanting to test Jamie Cureton. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's... But no, I mean, even that's the kind of nice, in a weird way, that's like a personal thing. But when we take clients to be able to go to, obviously, when we got to the final, we've got the connections that allow us to get hospitality packages, get tickets, all of these things. And to be able to provide people with those experiences.
Well, I was just about to say that, yeah, as a normal person for me, that's just looking around. I imagine that's the effect that you get from clients where you just like...
Well, that's the real... the bonus out of it all really is the feedback that you get.
You did the celebs and all the high end, all the high end stuff, but even on the middle stuff and the really nice stuff that you do, that is affordable or a bit of a treat.
Yeah, there's
all levels.
We can cater for everyone's needs, and obviously certain things are more pricey than others. Certain things are more in demand than others with the way that it is. But it's a really special sort of feeling that you get, and it's hard to, and you know, like you can't separate. If you bought just two tickets off of me to go to Villa versus Spurs on Friday, just for argument's sake, which might cost you £199 plus VAT with full hospitality, you know, that isn't going to retire anyone on what we're doing. But the thrill of when a client texts me and says, if Villa have won 3-0 or something, and you get that picture of him and his son that are in the ground, and my son's loved his first ever game of football. That's sometimes worth more than having the high-end celebrity that you've looked after. Because, and you know, we use Trustpilot and different methods as well, because we obviously have, with the high amount of money that there are on certain products, it's important that people see feedback from experiences that they've had. And it's so heartwarming when you get a Trustpilot feedback that is really good. And to be honest with you, really daft way, but it's just as important to get the ones that don't go well, because we can't sit in an ivory tower and say that everything's swimmingly well.
That's something for you as a sales director to be like, okay, take upon, or someone else to be like, okay, lads or girls and people, we've had this, let's work on this. And
well, I remember we came out of the pandemic, and obviously everyone was going to different events everywhere because we'd have a real terrible 2 years, and then we got really lucky in how we were supported afterwards. But we were at Ascot, Royal Ascot, and obviously we collate dietary requirements and everything for people that are sitting down and eating. And one of the guys who was a customer of ours in our facility, he had said that one of his guests had a nut allergy. So we passed that on to the caterers. And anyway, long story short...
Lost in translation.
Well, no, Ascot served a meal that had a pine nut in it. And on the British nut register, a pine nut isn't classed as a nut.
Why?
So we've given the nut allergy, caterers have looked at it, but I mean, it blows my mind. It'll probably blow your mind, but it isn't a nut allergy.
It's called a nut.
It's a pine nut, but it's not a nut.
Yeah.
And they've carried on.
Coconut, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I was still a bit technical for you, that, you know.
Everything with nutty and just...
And yeah. And the next thing, you know, we've got like paramedics in the facility. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's quite squeaky bum time. I mean, we were sort of... You're worried with something like a nut allergy that where'd you go from there, you know? It's just a serious thing, isn't it? Mm. But I mean, as daft as that sounds, that's an experience
that'll only ever happen once.
Well, yeah, and we'll learn from it. And if I you know, it's been 4 or 5 years since then. But if somebody now says to me that I've got a nut allergy, and I know that there's, I'm now looking at menus or looking at the finer details on it, and it's made me more aware of, you know, something that wasn't even a knowledgeable part of me, the food industry and what they class as. Something, because ultimately that, although it's not any, we passed on the information, it wasn't really anything that we could have done to affect it.
Yeah, the book stops with you.
Absolutely. The clients paid the money to us, so I've got to be big enough and ugly enough to take the screaming, the blame from it. But I always try and turn it into a positive and look back at how we can make sure that doesn't happen again.
Mm.
And that's why
I think... So I see the person as I can,
yeah. Yeah. Luckily, we didn't kill anyone.
No. Not that would be hard.
Yeah, I think...
That'd be
rich. I think that might even kill quite positive, man. If I'm honest,
isn't it? And stuff. Killed a person.
Yeah. But no, we've... So, I mean, you know, like, that's why I say all feedback is good feedback, because even the screams in life allow you to improve the product from what we've got. And they can... They, you know, the complaints that we can get can differ in all sorts of ways. We can have it where... We might have oversold the restaurant's places and it's a little bit tight in the facility, or we put 12 people on what it should have been a table of 10. And those experiences are there to make sure that you've got a product, a better product in the future. So we obviously always love good feedback, but the bad feedback is just as important and sometimes a lot more helpful.
And what I found is headed them on as well. I'm coming back to some comments and sorry about that. And because... People just sometimes, particularly Facebook reviews, I don't think you can do it on Facebook reviews, but people just delete it. Well, they'll try and obviously trust by you can't, but trying to hide from it, you might as well just front it. Okay, so I felt that. And then people, if you look at the 1 stars and the 2 stars on people, it's apparent then how good the company is on how good the comeback is on the comment or whatever.
That's a massive plug to what Eventmasters is as a business, really. So you touched on it earlier about how, you know, when I'm walking in here, you're on the phone, etc., and the phone's never stopping ringing. We've got a 24-hour event service, which is basically any calls that happen after the hours of 9 till 5 that come through to my mobile phone. Unless I'm on a flight, that phone will get answered. And if it doesn't get answered at that point, if I'm on the phone, it will get called back, irrespective of if it's 11 p.m. at night, at 9 p.m. at night.
Yep.
And you know, we have people, especially when they go to midweek football games and Premier League or even midweek racing evening events, you know, there's sometimes, especially with the way that we are in an e-ticketing world now, electronically, it doesn't always go as swimmingly to plan. And to have that luxury, there's somebody you can phone on a Saturday or a Sunday or on an evening and know that you've got...
Just for a bit of assurance.
Yeah.
Especially the oldies. Well, I mean, they might not have anyone there to be like, oh.
And okay, I just think it's probably such a pro that Eventmasters have that luxury of, you know, and that's something that I love doing, and I love having that reassurance for our clients who are doing it. And it's something that Mark and Denise had done for years and years before I came onto the scene.
It's a bloody robot on a chat.
Exactly that. Or just sending an email and a text message and knowing that you're not going to get it picked up until if it's over a weekend, Monday, or if it was an evening the following day. At least if there is something that goes wrong at an event, our clients know that we can nip it in the bud there and then, and the experience isn't affected. And like you were saying with the Trustpilot, that probably goes quite a long way in the reflection of the firm and how it's perceived and how we try and do things, because everybody in business gets into it to obviously try and do things right and do things in the most professional way that you can. But everybody's fair and everybody understands that you can't always have shining roses in life.
How you do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd say with what we do, we've got people at events every night of the week. So we'll have people at the Co-op Arena at Manchester tomorrow for Bruce Springsteen. Right. You know, just all sorts of weird and wonderful things that you couldn't imagine. We've got people at Utoxeter Races this Saturday. We do like the three open top bus experiences at the Epsom Derby at the end of the month, which you would look at and it's totally different to where it is, but we've got people that are in all sorts of different things, and it's majorly important that although 99.9% of it will all go well, that we react to the 0.1%
to
be available for when it doesn't. So
yeah,
it's a big thing really.
So going back in, we spoke to people in the past that work with sports people and celebs, and people have got a bit dough. Some of them can be a bit naughty. Is there anything that you can, obviously we spoke about it, that some of these people do sign NDAs and want to stay out of the...
Yeah.
Can you give us like a general kind of, what's because you're a bit naughty when you're out. You'll encourage people to have drinks. Yeah. Right? It's just part of the experience.
Yeah, but I'm the big child. And
is there anyone that's...
Well, we, you know, in terms of where we have, I wouldn't say anyone's a bit naughty, but when we look after footballers and football teams that come in, and that's always such a great group to look around, because you'll see straight away who's the linchpin in the life of the party out of the 20 plus lads that are there or so. I mean, for instance, this year we had Jordan Pickford in our restaurant down at Cheltenham. And you know, I could see pretty easily why Pickford after the Euros when he was out having a few bevvies, just getting himself in a bit of trouble. He was absolutely no issue in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But you can just tell he's a laugh and soul, and he's got an aura about him. You know, he's not afraid to go and have drink after drink after drink. And it's funny to see him on the other side of the coin as a normal bloke, but it's great for our clients as well, because, you know, having the England number one in your restaurant.
And
you know, but he was approachable to everyone as well. He wasn't head up his ass about anything.
Yeah.
But
just think about these footballers though. Sometimes you think, so they're not drinking for 6-8 months of the year. And then when they do let their hair down and they do go out, if they've had a break and stuff, they're like probably in this three or four.
Sometimes in cases, never. I mean, we hosted 3 years ago now, Ivan Tony in our Silks restaurant at Cheltenham. And the one thing, Ivan was such a lovely guy. And, you know, although I don't necessarily think he should still be playing in Saudi because he's a better footballer than that.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge him the move for it, because he came on a table with just him and his family. He was honestly the most lovely guy on the planet. He was so down to earth. But he sat there and he had water all day. And he was in this environment where it's Gold Cup there at Cheltenham. It was an international break that following weekend. He wasn't playing for England at the time. So he could have gone and got himself scuttered, had a real, you know, knees up. But you could tell that he's obviously a very professional guy, knows exactly what he's doing with himself, got a good level head on him. He had a brilliant family around him. And he was so polite to all the other customers as well that were in the restaurant. You know, it's very, very...
You hope bad rap, doesn't it? He has done in the past that
because everyone says they've gone chasing the money, but realistically, Kev, who doesn't in life? You know, like unfortunately, we're all here to make a few.
We're all trying to look after the next generation. Our kids.
Well, if somebody turned around to you or I and said, "I'm going to pay you 300, 400 grand more a week," we'd be very daft people if we was not even consider it, really. So, you know, he was one that I remember from hosting him on Gold Cup Day, just thinking, like, I wish him all the best, because just how professionally he kept himself with it, which is the other end of the coin of what you were asking on the side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like, I mean,
do you sometimes have preconceptions and think, these might be a bit
I remember
you're in about and you're in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember from my kind of thing, I remember we used to have Craig Wallace once upon a time that used to come back in. This is when I first started now, in our hospitality, and he's not somebody that I would view as a major celeb, for instance. But I remember thinking at the time, like, he's a bit of a, you know,
dick.
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to say. He was having it all for himself kind of thing. And then you see what came out last year.
And
my missus is like, I'm sure like 8 years ago, you were saying that he was a bit up himself and a bit of an arse pipe. Whereas like the preconception, there's other celebrities that I deal with that I can't name because of NDAs.
And they're paying you some.
It's more, you know, that they're doing a good service for us, but like they have one persona and one personality that is for the TV.
Yeah.
And they are completely different opposite in like, and they can be the most hard nosed person when they're on TV and they're in the public eye. But when they're in like a box of the racing.
Family and friends.
but they're the most generous people I've ever seen. You know, I've seen some of these celebrities. When you go into hospitality, you know, the people who are working in the boxes that do such a great job to make sure that the day is as good as it is, we all forget that these are going to be people that are working for agencies and are going to be on minimum wage. Life's hard for them where it is. And I've seen some of the top-end celebrities that we deal with who are worth, money's no object to them. They've got so much of it. And you see their professional life from what we see as the general public, and you'd think, God, what an absolute wanker they must be. And then I see them in like a private thing around their family. And then they're,
but they're
tipping the person who's hosted the box or worked in the box £500-600 in a cash tip, which that's going to change that individual's.
But they would never go inside it. They're doing that. They're just doing.
They don't even let anybody else in the guest things know, and it's only because we're overseeing the operation. You're noticing it, it's quite an amazing thing to see how you can get it. But then I was going back with like Greg Wallace when he was in the facility, and you see like the other side of the coin where you kind of think that it's almost got to him a bit.
Yeah,
you know, like,
do you know who I am?
Yeah, exactly like that. So we haven't, but to be honest with you, we've been very lucky. I mean, for all of the football teams that we've hosted, we've never, you probably would have saw all those footballers a fair few years ago at Cheltenham that were winning the cups and throwing them over the, things. That was before my time. So I don't know
who
hosted in there, but it's cool.
I think it's moved on a little bit, hasn't it? Because there's that many cameras and there's that many stuff going on.
Everyone's ready to shock someone as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dangerous world that we live in nowadays. If you think about it, you know, a certain celebrity can't fart and get away with it, really. And that's sort of...
And that's even going back to like Euro 96 and stuff. But obviously, with all the cameras and equipment stuff now, and I've seen these cool Google glasses. And big Google glasses, aren't
they? And then similar to the
cameras.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I've not seen them. Yeah.
But dangerous, man.
Like, that's what I mean. Everybody's... And, you know, like we...
If you're dangerous, if you're doing the wrong things in front of them,
honestly. Of course you are. If you all have a drink, and it's only somebody who only needs to...
Out of context as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't even get a chance.
Me and you, right? If someone's seen us at the Euros and stuff, one of them might, if you get a clip of us, it might be there, good lads. If you see us pissing about, it might be like, oh, that's in my house. It depends what context
you're in. Yeah, and you know, with a lot of these guys, I do feel sorry for them in the celebrity world because they don't get the opportunity to defend themselves. And we all paint a picture of how they are.
Yeah.
What they're like, and they are a lot different behind closed doors. I mean, this year at Cheltenham, we had on Jordan Pickford's table, we had Rob Edwards, who was the old Luton manager, John O'Shea, who's currently the assistant Irish manager, Stephen Hunt, who's a football agent, which is where all the connection came, because I know Stephen through Ian Williams's yard on the racing side of things.
Yeah.
And you couldn't meet, as a group of four lads, you couldn't be more fun, down-to-earth, kind lads who were just there for a laugh and a joke, you know. They brought Johnny Evans along, who's obviously just been a Leicester.
Yeah.
But, it must be quite hard for some of these lads who are footballers going to Cheltenham, for instance, and every 10 seconds, you're like, can I pitch him?
Yeah.
You would be like, oh, Christ, can I just watch this race at one point? You know what I mean? Yeah. But they were all so they were really down to earth lads. They had a good time. They had a good time with our clients.
And you gravitate to them then when you're at an event and kind of.
Well, yeah, because to a certain extent, when you've got names like Jordan Pickford or something that's in your restaurant, if you've bought a table off me at Cheltenham and your table's next to Jordan Pickford's table, but then you and your customers are having a laugh with Jordan Pickford, you know full well that that's something that your customers are going to be talking about for weeks, years on end. Do you remember that time we went to Cheltenham with England number one?
Yeah.
And the fact that they are so forthcoming, we don't ask them to be. We don't, you know, they're a paying punter to the Sabres as you would be, or the same as anyone would be.
You would never go to them and say, oh, listen.
No, we won't. But the fact that they play the game with it is a help to me because it enhances my clients' experiences, you know. And I suppose people want to be in the hospitality and be in the celebrity world because that's, you're always going to see people that.
And as a one off, you think, we've got this lovely room, we've got that, and then you've got Pickford and Hunt and O'Shea and stuff bantering you next to you. You're like, what? Like, it's a pinch
of most people. No, actually. And you know, like, we have, so Matt Chapman is our Event Masters Racing ambassador.
Yeah.
So he's employed by us to do basically just to come in at Cheltenham, at Royal Ascot, at all different racing events that we do. and he runs through the card. But he's brilliant. He says a feature on the TV every weekend on ITV, every week time there's a big ITV racing, Sky Sports racing as well. And he's so good with our customers. You know, he's a real good laugh. He gets involved with the banter. He takes pictures. He has a pop of me as well. We have some really good little. The good thing is that he's a real person about it, and people buy into that more, that they're involving themselves in the experience and rubbing shoulders with celebrities, but they're also realizing that the celebrity is just like them.
It's just the latter.
And they can relate.
It's like you said, isn't it? He probably, so you see the start that you just live the dream and you enjoy every day. That's what they're doing, aren't they?
Well, realistically, and they just
kind of like, oh.
You know, they've been given pocket aces, whereas some of us have been given pocket keys.
Good work on the roads, generally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's quite amazing to see. But yeah, we get to see a fair few people who wander through the doors. Not so much, you know, our customers that will go to the Premier League football aren't going to be anybody that's.
Yeah.
Really, it's more the racing,
of course,
yeah. F1 aspect kind of thing. The money can't buy experiences, you know, on that side of things. But yeah, we deal with some pretty cool people throughout the year. So it's
last one. Yeah.
Pinch yourself moment on there again.
Asking Gaz to put his hand in his pocket. Check us all to the right.
But he was there. He can tell you about the Tuesday.
I bet he probably couldn't know.
No, well.
Because he has three pockets.
I'm sure if you ask him, he was on the table with John O'Shea. I'm pretty sure he was on he was on the same table. I'm almost 100%. It was the table next door. Apologies.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably asleep in the limo.
He'd definitely been in there. So, yeah.
Brilliant. So, just touching upon COVID, what did the COVID look like in hospitality? Obviously, I know firsthand what it looked like in hospitality. What did it look like for you guys?
It was quite scary, really, because we obviously...
Was you braced through it?
No, not really at all. I mean, we ran the Cheltenham Festival, where everybody was...
Well, that's when...
That was then. And all the media was like, you're the problem, Cheltenham's problem. But from my perspective, I was like, this festival has to go ahead. The outlays there, but
that moment as well. It was like, but you can do it, but you can't do it. And it's like... There weren't any things saying don't do it, was there?
I remember the Friday, which was Gold Cup Day, which was practically... The football got cancelled on that weekend on the Friday morning. And I remember having quite a few calls from clients who were saying, look, FYI, we're not turning up today. And we ran like what was a sold out facility at 25% reduced capacity because we had three or four tables that didn't come. Then obviously the announcement happened on the Monday after, which was like everything stopped. And for the first...
We went as well.
Yeah.
That year.
Yeah. And for the first...
That's been a bit peaky.
No, well...
What is that?
But the first 3 months... was having to unravel all the events that we didn't have a clue what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, it happened in April. We run 300 people at 600 people at the Grand National meeting in April.
Yeah.
We've got all of these people who have paid for their bookings. We have no idea what's going to happen with the event, when's it going to stage, what we can do with that.
Then we're all short on those events.
Well, no, because if you think about how long it went on for, which was like two and a bit years nearly in the end, the insurance would never cover for what it was. So all of a sudden we're in a position now where we're looking down our order, but we've got all the remainder of the Premier League games. We've got like Aintree, Epsom. We've got them like 5,000 people that are due to go to Royal Ascot. You've then got like even smaller mini events that we're only sending 100 people to, like the Birmingham Classic and stuff like this, little golf events. So myself and Mark, obviously we're waiting for the government as well, because I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Mark's obviously as a business owner is having to be like, where am I going with this? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know,
military.
Are we going to have to lay people off? The furlough scheme comes in.
So
everybody goes onto a furlough system. I was lucky enough that I was put on the task with Mark to do the breakback of events, which I can't tell you how sane that kept me, because I was working luckily day to day, and I didn't have although it wasn't pleasant because I wasn't selling, I was just firefighting and trying to advise people best. So we ended up coming up with like a three-way strategy, which we gave to all of our clients. So say that you'd book Royal Ascot with me, I'd phone you up and I'd say, iKev, obviously, you know, we have no idea what's going on. We don't know when. We don't anticipate that Royal Ascot's going to go ahead in June.
Yeah, as an educated guess.
We don't even know if Royal Ascot's going to go ahead again next year. So let's try and make an idea, because as a business, we don't know where we stand as well. you've obviously been good enough to pay all of your funds for the table.
You don't want everyone dragging all the money out of the same farm, do you?
So we came up with the three-way attack that we did, and the first one was to roll the book into the following year.
Yeah.
So just keep it all the same, put it in. The second one was you can take a credit note, cancel the booking, but that credit stays on file. The third one was, look, obviously, because we're in a complete scenario we don't know about, we'll refund you, but we can only refund you 80%. So in theory, we'll give you the money back.
You've already done some work, haven't you?
There's 20%. Well, by that point, you're down the line with it kind of thing. And our clients were phenomenal. I mean, we're so lucky the way that they supported us. Most of the people that took like the 80% were like our foreign customers who were coming over for the Premier League football, which you expect that to be the case. Yeah. And we had certain instances as well, you know, where we looked at a case by case and we sometimes refunded people 100% dependent on
situations.
What the situation was, exactly that. But then we had the next stage when it was like 2 years later on of, right, okay, now all we've got Ascot, let's say. We've got X, Y, and Z who's already booked into Ascot that's rolled over. We're now going to have the conversation with the racecourse because the racecourse just held all of the money and whatever else.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, the only way that this can really pay is you've got to hold the price from 2 years ago and roll that into next year. So, but again, even venues were very understanding. I think everybody was in a scenario where we all knew we were up shit creek, really, and we had to work with each other.
Be careful not to upset the fuse. If they said no, then you might have said, well, cut off, then we're going to take our business elsewhere.
And then we got, although obviously because of the way that COVID works, because everyone was so cooped up for so long, we ended up, when it opened up, we've placed all the bookings back into the people that are going. And then it's like, right, well, let's go and build another facility and let's go and sell 300 more
chairs. It's still alive.
And, you know, we since COVID, we have been really, really well supported. And you know, it's twofold because the fact that it's made it so popular now, prices have obviously gone a lot more north than they were before COVID.
Yeah.
But that's just a supply and demand thing. And I think, so although COVID was terrible for us as a business, again, it was another experience that you try and look at and you say, well,
and can we? It's the TripAdvisor thing again, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, also from my personal perspective, I went into COVID as a sales manager and I worked closely with Mark and Denise, the owners, throughout the whole of COVID. And then they promoted me.
He's all right, actually.
So, yeah, he's not Chancer. six months after COVID into a sales director's role. So it has almost been something that's, you know, gave me a lease into the, you know, realistically, yeah. So I wouldn't say I was grateful
because
for
of my,
it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
working closer together, they then got, I assume they then got a feel and you got a feel to what they're after and you're both singing from the same hymn tree and they're not carry on that forward.
I think that Mark and I and Denise and I have always been on the same page very much so with how we are. It's never that we're, you know, we like all people in business, I have an opinion, Mark's have an opinion, Denise will have an opinion. But it's not an opinion that we'd fall out over.
Yeah.
It's a professional thing that
in within a certain.
And Mark will say, well, I understand your opinion. I don't necessarily agree. So I'm going to counter for this. And then that's just the way that it should be. And to a certain extent.
But you're looking for the benefit of the company.
Yeah. And Mark and Denise know that. And they know, you know, they see the hours that I put in as well. And they know that I'm on the hands, on the phones in the evenings and at the weekends. So it's very much a two-way thing. I know that they trust me and I trust them as well. So it's, and they were, you know, they were very, very good to me throughout COVID as well, as they were the whole of the Event Masters team, because we didn't let anyone go during COVID, which I think when hospitality are being shut down again, when you go back to what
the last is, it's brown
hospitality. Yeah.
First thing to go.
Yeah. And then to a certain extent now the government is still almost picking on it because the, you know, I get to clients who say to me now, well, why is Cheltenham, why is Ascot going up so much? And I'm like, well, you know, you only have to look at what the government measures are. They're taxing hospitality for everything. They're increasing minimum wage on everything. Now, I'm not saying that we don't agree with having minimum wage, but if the staff that are getting in these hospitality facilities have got to be paid X, Y, and Z more, then the prices have got to go up more because they've got to cover for the, you know, everyone's making a profit on it, isn't it? So
you've got to work with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So just kind of
finally then, so what's the future hold for Eventmasters? What's it hold for you? What the plans? Can you let us into any secrets? And you worldwide?
Well, we do worldwide. We don't do like travel packages, but I've got clients that are going to the Monaco Grand Prix. I'll have clients that are going to...
You can help facilitate that. And...
Yeah, I'll have clients that are going to all sorts of different events globally, you know, like the Euros as well, when we add it to the World Cup next year in America.
You having a bit of that?
Yeah, well, we'll definitely be involved and we'll have options for tickets. I mean, we've even got clients going to Tottenham versus United in the Europa League final next Wednesday in Bilbao. So, but, you know, in terms of what is the next 10 years hold, I think for Eventmasters, we're looking to grow and get more portfolio from where we are now. We're always looking to grow our options and our packages, and we would like to, you know, we're in it. We're a business that likes to not just sign up to deals that are on a 6-month basis or a year basis. We'd want to be working with a venue for 5, 10, 15 years exclusively. So we're always looking for the right opportunities. In terms of where it is, I see myself as part of the furniture at Eventmasters, and I'm a loyal man. I love the company to bits. I come into work every day smiling, and I've always been a big believer. I said it in my wedding speech last year. I said, if you can find a job where you enjoy it, you'll never work a day in your life. And I'm very much in that scenario now. So
you get service level agreements with clients sometimes and preferred suppliers. Is it,
we have to go through people? No. We have to go through preferred suppliers this year. We have to do all sorts of things like that.
So you get some bits where you're just like, okay, he will be your sole supplier.
We have some people who support me personally as their sole supplier, definitely. But then we also as well have people who won't, who will sign a preferred suppliers list with us, but because of bribery and different things, they have to sign with 5 or 6 other people so that they get
a quote,
varying quotes, etc. Mm-hmm. So, competition's great in life, isn't it? If we weren't
lovely as
high. Yeah, well, if we weren't, I played football for 12 years at non-league level, and that's kind of the burning fire that you've got in you, isn't it? If you don't have that aspect of wanting to win, then the salesman's probably not really for you.
Sales is relatively easy. If you are a cool guy and you don't mind speaking about stuff that you love racing, it's easy, isn't it? You don't just selling, is it then? So you're like,
well, to a certain extent, it's
just, what? No, it's got, how do you cope with the prices and stuff sometimes? I know it's,
well, if we're officially appointed by a venue, then the venue will set the price, and then but we're the official supplier, so we then are employed to sell it on behalf of them.
Of course.
The football was sort of very much a supply and demand market, and we do it by how everywhere else is placed in the market. So we have to put in a bit more research with that. We have to be a bit cuter if a game's not in demand, because the football fixtures change from Tuesday night from a Saturday. That won't mean the price will drop, but if the game's a prime time Sunday and it's, you know, Liverpool going to win the league, then you can guarantee the price is going to go up, sort of thing. So, it's horses for courses, no pun intended. With which event is priced where, but it all really is down to what agreement we've signed with that venue. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be a good roller coaster for the next 5 to 10 years, whatever it is, at Eventmasters, and I'm looking forward to every step of the way.
Perfect. Thanks for your time, man.
Good man. Thanks, Kim.
You're amazing.
Top man.
Cheers, brother.